The St. Paul City Council Org Committee to order. Today is our first of the month, monthly organizational committee. We have a few things to cover today in addition to our regular committee and commission check-in. And I believe on our agenda, we are starting with our Director of Council Operations, Brynn Howe.
Hello. So I just have a quick update for you all on what I've been up to for the last month. Today is actually my official 30th day in my job. So yay. So it's perfect timing for a 30-day update. So I've spent most of the last month with, you know, our staff doing one-on-one check-ins, kind of just learning how everything works. I haven't gotten through everybody yet, though, because this job is a lot of work, I'm finding out, now that I'm surprised. So I'm working on it. But I do want to take that opportunity to just really thank everybody here for all of their time. I mean, they've just been so gracious with their patience and time and just helping me to really learn how this place works and operates. And I'm just couldn't be more appreciative and couldn't be more overwhelmed with how warm and wonderful everyone's been. So I'm going to tear up a little bit, but it's been wonderful. I really, really like it. So one update to give you all is we are still working a little bit short-staffed. We're down two permanent EA positions. We've been trying to hire for the central team EA. Both of them are now posted publicly. So if council members are willing to share those with their networks, that would be great. I will get that link to all of you after this meeting. And then, as we all know, our Holly is out on leave for about another month. So we're down that our budget officer position as well. We're a little bit less flexible and nimble than we might otherwise be if all those positions were filled. And one other thing I'm working on, I'm working with HR to schedule my first all-staff meeting for our whole council staff soon. I want to do, you know, everyone was gone for the past 2 years. We're all just kind of figuring out how to be back in the office and be humans together. So I want to have HR come in and talk to us all about, like, level setting expectations for how you work with other people in the office and, like, how we're respectful in the workplace to each other. Not that people aren't being, but, you know, I know I'm having, like, a hard time remembering how to be a person in the office and with everybody. So I felt like it would be a good way to bring the staff together and get that update for everybody. And I don't know when the last time HR did any sort of, like, here are our policies on, you know, workplace conduct, but I feel like it's a good place to start. So working with them to get something scheduled. Their person who's been, like, I need to work with on that has been in a deposition for a while, so she hasn't been available, but hopefully I can get in with her soon. And feel free to interrupt me with questions or if you want me to talk more about something, but I'll just keep plowing through. So next thing I've been working on.
Brynn, I would just say, especially to Mr. Tolbert, the position, you said that we have two executive assistant positions that are posted that have not been taken up internally. So they're posted publicly, which is a very unusual opportunity for the public to get these positions, and also underscores some of the conversations we've been having about these roles and the potential for them to change in a new kind of way of operating. So I think it's interesting that that's the second time that it's happened, that these positions have been posted and there wasn't interest internally. Mm-hmm. And I'm not taking it personally.
I'm trying also not to.
Did you have something to add to?
No. Well, actually, as long as you ask. Yeah, first of all, I love the director update. Thank you for giving us the director update. What a good idea. And second of all, I really appreciate having HR come in. I think that's really smart, and I can tell you that it's been at least 6.5 years since it's happened because it hasn't happened while I've been here. So.
Great. All right. So the main project I've been working on is the police chief qualifications and examining committee, helping you all to get that set up. So qualifications will get their first reading today in council and second reading next week. Then our next project is to get the public examining committee set up. I'm working with the central team on coming up with a form, like an intake form for an open application process for the public to apply to be on that committee. So I've got a draft working with them, hoping to get that, you know, with everyone, the council members sign off to ready to go live on the website next week. And then hoping, you know, if I'll, you know, we kind of need to move a little quickly. So my thought is get members appointed to that by April if we can get enough interest. So have it up for the month of March and then get the members in right at the beginning of April and then they can start their work. And then along with that, so the HR timeline, the last we heard from them, and we met with them yesterday. So leadership members who were in that meeting, if I have anything wrong from your recollection from our meeting with them, please correct me. But they are working right now on an RFP for a search firm. And they've also been talking to, like, Minneapolis and other, you know, HR people about search firms they've worked with to try and get some recommendations to help speed that up. Through March and April, they're planning to work with the mayor for a community engagement process. So they're going to do surveys and get input from community organizations. In April, they're going to have a search firm in place, they're hoping, to get the position posted for 30 days and recruit nationwide. In May, the community advisory panel will review the applications to determine who to interview. They bring five candidates to the mayor for the mayor to, you know, choose from, basically. June, the mayor will engage with the community in allowing them to engage the candidates, possibly have some candidate forums. Then their plan is July, mayor will interview candidates, and August, new chief starts. I think they're hoping to speed that up. This was what they sent me like a week ago, and I think that this is, you know, based on council feedback, they're hoping to, like, bump that all up and get somebody in sooner than August. But
I thought they were saying that without having to do a full RFP, just given that there was there's, you know, sources for that, that they were thinking that they could back it up 2 months,
yeah,
which would put them into June, which is what we requested in,
yes,
initially. So
yeah. I think they just wanted to set this out as, like, a worst-case scenario kind of thing. Like, if we can do better, great, but that was my understanding.
And, our response was, we can do better.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, moving on from that, redistricting. So, the...
And, Ms. House, just quick interruption as well. I think today is our first reading of the qualifications, and I had a good conversation with Councilmember Jalali just about, you know, this is a process that we only engage in once every 6 years, sometimes not even every 6 years if a police chief extends to 2 years or two terms. So we want to make sure that we're clear with the community where their role is in participation. And it's a little funky because to start this, we need to pass the qualifications.
And it's really just the low baseline, what we need for people to, you know, as application minimums. And we are immediately after this starts going through the process, working with the community to talk about how we paint in that picture. What are the questions we'll be asking in an interview? What are our expectations? And so there might be some feelings about, you know, why are you already putting these out passing this ordinance before you've had a chance to talk to the community? And it really is just an unusual, I shouldn't say unusual, it's just a process we don't use often. But there will be plenty of time to paint in a full picture of what we're looking for, opportunities for community engagement, in addition to our committee that picks out the five that will move forward. And by that time, I think that we'll have a very clear idea of what we're looking for in St. Paul. And then ultimately, the mayor does decide. So there are steps in the process, and I think it's our job to make sure that we're clearly communicating where folks can weigh in and that we're not ahead of ourselves, so it may appear to be. Ms. Jalali.
I would just add to that a part of my understanding that I have found helpful as someone who wants very strong community input in like driving this process, which is that there's a distinction between here are the HR qualifications and like technical skills and educational credentials and things like that that are from like an employer standpoint the bar that has to be met for this position, which is governed by, you know, all of our rules as an institution, and then here is more of the fit, values, community priority, etc. Parts that come in the review through like the panel and the selection process. And so I think it's important, I have found it important to understand, okay, these are like the on paper minimums, but that doesn't mean it's the totality of what we want, and we enforce what we want through things like the application questions, the rest of the posting, all of the interviews they're going to go through. That was helpful for me as someone who was like, well, I want to talk about even more than just what's on this piece of paper. And it's like, I think it's useful to explain where and how that lives in this process for the community who's going to want a lot of say in this. So I would just add that onto what you were talking about. That was an understanding I found helpful after talking through this process as someone who has never gone through it before as a council member. So,
no, I appreciate it. The conversation's been helpful for me as well. And I think one of the reasons why we're not spending
as much time on this front end is because we really do want to spend it where the actual, you know, the effort is worth the impact on the part where we're painting in the picture, as opposed to setting the baseline qualification. Ms. Nager.
Thanks, Council President. I agree, Councilmember Jalali, and I also really like the way that, first of all, I like the way we're talking about it and that we're talking about it so that people are hopefully hearing that this process is starting and we're doing our best to be transparent about what's going on. And I also like the way that our timeline that we plan to follow lays out sort of an iterative process of getting community feedback. So we'll have an opportunity to get community feedback on the minimum qualifications because it's an ordinance, so people will have a chance to weigh in next week and throughout. And then going to the community even before a search firm is brought on to find out what people are looking for so that can inform the search. And then going back after we are able to bring in five finalists to the community to have them actually see the five finalists and interact with them and give even more feedback. So I think that that kind of cycle of iterative feedback throughout is really the most productive and the most genuine way to get input.
Great. See, we had more to add on that one. And again, today's first reading, the staff report really is what we just heard right now. I think it would actually be a good opportunity to use that time, and perhaps, Ms. Halls, you can share as the lead on this what we're doing, why we're doing it, and when we see the opportunities for community to engage in the future, as well as in the minimum qualifications. I will say that even since publishing our first draft, we've gotten feedback, and there is an amendment to discuss today at the table, even on our first draft. So we will have we do have engagement, so it's exciting.
Great. Okay. Thank you. So my next quick update is on redistricting that process. The Charter Commission has, looks like, 4 meetings scheduled coming up. So this Friday, they're meeting here in this room to do a committee work session. Next Tuesday, March 8th, they're going to meet at 3 in the council chambers to do a committee public hearing. Next Friday, March 11th, they're going to meet at the Rondo Library for a committee public hearing. And then two Wednesdays from now, March 16th, they're going to meet Room 40, City Hall, for a full commission public hearing and final vote on the wards. And then that will come to the City Council for approval on March 23rd. And it will meet the state deadline of March 29th for the wards to be set.
I apologize for putting you on the spot, but do we just up or down the commission's recommendations? There's no opportunity for council to...
That's my understanding, but I'm not positive and would like to get back to you on that, if that's okay.
All right. And they're pushing it to the wire, so the 23rd date gets it into our system on the 23rd, and so we hear it by the end of March, which is the last day that we can pass the ward boundaries and precinct lines.
Yeah, so state law requires that they, to be done by the end of March, or the mayor and council do not get paid as the, I can't think of the word, but if we don't get it done by then, that's what happens.
That's a lot of pressure on them.
Yeah. Ouch. Ms. Prince.
Yeah. At what point are they drawing lines? I mean, are they doing a few different versions, or what will the public hearings involve? Looking at a variety of possibilities.
Council President, Councilmember Prince, I'm not 100% sure on that. I know that they are working with they've contracted with Park Street, a firm in town, to help them do the technical work. So I know that that firm is attending these meetings with them to get the public input and hear from the commission on what they want. So I think that the lines are kind of being drawn through the process of all these meetings. But again, I'm not positive on that. Okay. If there's a date, they're collecting info and then they'll draw maps on that date. But I think my understanding, again, which is just not 100%, I'm not 100% positive, is that they're working with this firm throughout this whole process of these 4 meetings to get the lines drawn.
I can add a little bit to that, too, is they're behind. Mm-hmm. And they piggybacked on top of the work Ramsey County is doing for efficiency's sake, really, because they'd already started drawing some Ramsey County lines. Yesterday I saw a message from one of the commissioners looking for support from the city with communications and outreach around their public hearings that they're having. And so I think that that's a work in progress.
I understand, and maybe Mr. Tolbert knows more about this, but the commission is its own entity that sometimes, you know, that isn't, we have a separation from the commission. So I think that in order for the city to step in and support, we need to be asked. And so that ask came yesterday. And so I know that there's a strong intention of communication and process explanation, but quite frankly, I think that just got underway last week. So we should.
Yeah, any details we can get would be helpful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, to share and to understand the process. And just reminding my colleagues that we passed a resolution over a year ago with best practices for this redistricting. And I would definitely want to make sure that our partners are using that work, because that was in community-informed best practices, as well as a lot of work really on the front end of this. The intention was to pass those resolutions before boundaries were drawn so that it was nonpartisan. We weren't intending to save our seats or, you know, any other objective other than we as council members know that, for example, a railroad sometimes could serve as a better boundary than a street, because it's such a natural barrier in terms of what does a community cohesiveness feel like. And sometimes it doesn't. It just depends on where it happens to be. So we are the ones who have our feet on the ground. Share the desire to get more information about the process, to understand where we participate, if we do at all. I mean, this is definitely the county does draw their lines and weighs in. We do not. So it is an interesting and different process. So I would like to be clear what's happening and where people and council can weigh in.
The county board draws their lines?
They work with they have
their charter commission.
They get the board gets the final say. So a little bit different system there. But we will encourage them to get communication to us as well, because people are asking.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So then my last quick update I wanted to give are just the upcoming org meetings that we have scheduled. So next week, the River Center Visitors Authority is going to come in and present to us in council chambers on just their work. March 16th and 23rd, I don't have anything on the schedule. So if you all have anything specific you want to happen or talk about those two meetings, let me know. One I'm working on trying to get scheduled quickly is the parking enforcement, but the contact at the police department is out on vacation this week and next week. So I'm waiting for her to get back so we can get that on the books, but I think it'll be quick once she's back. And we could have someone come in sooner, but the person who is the right person just isn't there right now. Then in April, so the first April 6th, we've got our monthly org meeting, district council updates. I'll do another director update at that meeting. April 13th, we've got street lighting and copper theft scheduled. And April 20th is Climate Justice Advisory Board and the Climate Action and Resilience Plan. And then April 27th so far is still open, but I'm working. I've got a couple out there that I'm hoping to fill into that spot. So that's what we've got scheduled coming up. If you think anything you want to add to those, just let me know.
Ms. Prince?
Are we getting close on a date with the Section 3 contract compliance?
Council President and Councilmember Prince, not right now. We're working. I've been talking about it, but that seems like it might be, what's the right word? Something that we want to talk about in a smaller group setting or something, maybe, I think.
Okay.
Great. Other questions? Mine is do we have a place where the draft of our meeting schedule is public, or is that just... since we're just, it's a work in progress.
I think it's just like an internal staff document I've been working on.
All right.
But I can certainly make something public if you all want me to.
Yeah, well, also just appreciating that this is work that Holly bundled up and passed off to you. And I know yesterday you're like wanting to understand some of what is this meeting we're trying to set up. And so appreciate you picking it up and keeping the things rolling that are on the work plan and very much. So thank you. Ms. Snaker.
Thanks, Council President. Yeah, to that point, thank you, Director House, for picking that up and running with it. I it seemed like we had so many things on the list, and some of them were intended to be recurring updates that happen at some regularity. So I just want to make sure, given that we have some open time, it seems like you're working from the same list, trying to get all of those same ones scheduled. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, Council President and Council Member Naker. I am working on it. I am like feel like I'm just getting my head wrapped around what even most of this means. But certainly if there is a topic you are like, this needs to get like on the books right now, just reach out and let me know. I'm happy for that feedback.
Okay.
The other thing is that a good portion of that list is HRA updates. Mm-hmm. And those will, I think that we were determining which ones could just be part of HRA. For example, we got an update last meeting. Right. You know, we have been getting the updates, but they're not in this format. They're at the HRA.
Right.
And that just the ones that we thought were going to be exceptionally long that we thought we would move to this format just so that it didn't run into the council meeting. But we have had we've had quite a few updates this year on the HRA.
Yeah, planning was the first one. And
yeah.
There'll be a couple more. We canceled this week's. Some of them, though, we had updates right by the budget season. Like, they were like, well, we could do full stack. And it's like, well, we had that in November. Let's wait a little bit and figure it out.
But they might be blending into the HRA.
The housing one's delayed because they want to get a housing director on. But the more we work on housing, it might be worth having an update sooner than later.
I'm going to miss my mask someday. yes. But there is the list that Bren is working off is the list, and a big chunk of it is HRA.
Could you email that list out again just one more time so we have it? I just don't even remember what the last version was.
Yes, definitely. Great. And that is everything I have on my list. So if you have any questions, happy to answer.
Great. I appreciate the report from the director's office. This is very helpful, and I think that this is a perfect place to have that update. All right. So we have on our agenda as well, we have our updates, our regular updates of boards and commissions. If folks have things that they would like to share from their respective boards and commissions. Ms. Prince.
I will just say that my last meeting with CAPRW is this Thursday, and I am not allowed to continue that. Their bylaws don't allow one to exceed the maximum number of terms. So I would love to help anybody think about this. It's really good. It's especially, we have so many more connections with them now than we have in the past because of COVID, early childhood, housing. It really directly informs our work. And then, of course, the other piece of it is that CAP works with 2 out of 3 people living in poverty in Ramsey and Washington County, which means probably most people living in poverty in St. Paul. And that kind of access to that population is really valuable to the city in terms of the work that the Office of Financial Empowerment is doing, and also now our work with rent stabilization and our labor standards work. So it's really a good board to sit on.
Which CAP board?
It's the Community Action Partnership of Ramsey and Washington
okay.
County.
I just wanted to clarify because I first thought you were talking about the watershed districts.
Oh, no.
Hey, we got to see it on
the watershed district has really gotten involved in a lot of issues. Yeah.
That's why I was surprised. When do they meet?
They meet on the third Thursday of the month in the early evening.
I would just add that we've flown this quite a few times at this meeting, and hasn't been a lot of response. And I'm one thing I have a question about is just, is it a statutorily or is it an obligated role, or is it something? I know some of the boards and commissions we're on, we can send an aide. And I was thinking, you know, maybe Ward 1, there might be an interest in sort of where the county and city intersect, or, you know, is there a natural fit for somebody that's not a sitting council member in that role, or sometimes it's required. And so I think it'd be helpful to understand if it's an obligated position, which I don't believe that a nonprofit can fire us, but just something to consider if we can't get a representative.
Yeah. It is a good commission because there are two or three county board members on it at any time. So.
Is it evening?
Yeah, 6 to 7:30.
The other thing is on some of those boards, just ask them to relook at the bylaws, because technically I think I ran out of my time at the League of Minnesota Cities and nobody else at the time had the ability to do it. And so they just made, because we had a permanent spot, the board voted that to make an exception to that single role. And that seems fair, especially if this council wants you to serve.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that I've had, I think League of Minnesota Cities and Metro Cities both acknowledged that as, like, representatives from the city of the first class, that our terms were treated differently than the others, mostly because they want you there. So it might be worth them to take a second look. But those are two questions, so maybe we can see, does it have to be a council member? And they love, yeah. Maybe they can make some. You're on the board. but we can talk about that more offline. But I appreciate also just trying to fill those seats because it's certainly having us at the table certainly helps make sure that we're part of the conversation, and also to the point of bringing it back here to this table. We are also dialed in, so I appreciate that as well. Okay, other boards and commissions reports. No, it feels like a time of transition with people kind of moving back. I'm noticing some boards are remaining online. Some of them are doing hybrid. Some of them are in person. And so those things are changing as well. I know I've mentioned before that I serve on St. Paul College's board, and they're in, they have a brand new president. They're in the process of kind of reimagining or kind of resetting their values and their plan. But it's as we talk about workforce innovation and jobs and career path training, they are such a strong and incredible partner. And if people on this board would ever be, or on the council would ever be interested in getting a quick tour or a quick presentation from St. Paul College, the work that they're doing there is truly amazing. They too, I think, like Metro, is recognizing that their college enrollment went. It did just fine during COVID, and that they were adaptable to a online format, and they're going to try to keep that to the extent they can. The diversity of folks that they graduate from their programs is incredible. Everything from background to age to gender to in terms of like getting women into the trades or what have you. So really wonderful organization, and just resetting under the leadership of a new president, which is exciting. And although not my favorite activity on a board, but someone's got to do it. Other news from commissions or committees?
I just don't have any news.
Yeah. I got nothing today.
News is that there's no news.
That's great. I really do feel like it's a sort of transitioning. We've seen some meetings like canceled as they're going to a different format. So I will then shift just to the other business, our catch-all that we put on here, and just let folks know that yesterday Ramsey County voted to return to the council chambers and to the, I guess, commission chambers, whatever they call it, and to return to the building effective March 15th. As part of their decision, they chose to drop mask mandates. And that will have an impact on us because this is a Ramsey County building that we have shared relationship with. I'm happy to entertain thoughts here today, but I think we'll need to decide what does that mean for us in our council chamber? What does that mean for us in our workplace? What does that mean and what would we like to do? And I think that anything that we choose to do will be internal because we will not have the county support in any sort of enforcement or, folks coming and going from the building. So it's something that we'll need to think about. And I know that we have strong feelings all across the spectrum on this one, but just wanted to throw it out there. That's still a couple weeks ahead of us, but that will be a big change. Ms. Naker.
Thanks, Council President. And I don't have super strong feelings about
the mask mandate one way or another. I am confused as to whether, since we're in a county building and the mayor's city building requirement still applies, what that means. So I guess I'm not really even sure what status quo is. I was just wondering, I was thrilled to see that the county is coming back to work. And I'm wondering, do we have any word yet on whether we are coming, we, other city employees besides council, are coming back to work?
Ms. Warminder, do you have any news from the back to work committee?
I don't have any news about departments that are working from home and them coming back. So there's a meeting tomorrow morning, which we may learn more, but no news right now.
Okay. Ms. Prince and then Mr. Tolbert.
At this morning's BRC meeting, we learned that Securian is planning to come back, I think, was it mid-March? And they are very much encouraging all of us to come back because it's that critical mass that keeps downtown safe and really, really helps our businesses come back. So I think any encouragement that we can give to the administration that it's time to come back and help our city get strong again.
Hear, hear. We are modeling it, and I agree. Yes, last week after the council meetings, many folks stopped over at Gray Duck to celebrate Mr. Hahn's last resolution, and there was a lot of joy and energy just in the gathering and having the groups together, and we got so jazzed up that thought of an idea of having working with the Downtown Alliance to do like a council office versus city departments versus the world trivia mafia run to try to encourage people to get out to our places of business after work as well. And I'm sure you'd be surprised to hear that Joe Spencer loved it and is going to take the ball and run. And we should see some news on that. But I don't know if they know what they're in for. This council is really good at trivia.
They're really smart.
I'm good at cheersing people for the right answer. But it should be fun. And I think just a good way to get people back in rooms together and experiencing that energy is. But 100% agreed. And so hopefully after tomorrow we can get an update from the back to work committee. And was that follow up?
Just a quick one. To that point, the Santa Foundation Gala this weekend was a phenomenal public event that was enjoyed by hundreds. I hear that they cleared over $1 million. But people were absolutely thrilled to be dressed up and back together and not wearing masks.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I might add.
Yeah, there was about 1,500 people in the crowd, and the funds they raised it was astounding. It seemed like people were ready to be there, ready to give. That was exciting. It was also a little weird to be there without a mask on. It felt strange, you know. But what an incredible group. And speaking of a diverse group, I mean, I've never seen quite a profoundly diverse group. Again, around every spectrum group of folks, you know, people who would never be able to contribute more than a dollar to people who rose their hand to give $25,000 just on the fly was nuts. So a lot of fun, but there was a definite change in the weather to be in a room with that many people. And I know we're not all ready for that yet, but it was definitely felt joyful. Mr. Tolbert, you probably forgot now because we made you wait so long.
Well, I was just going to say, I would suggest that regardless of what Ramsey County does, that maybe, and we can revisit week by week, but I think for inclusiveness for our citizens and our staff, we should keep masks on in our chambers and ask people to keep them on. Obviously, we don't have the legal authority anymore to do it. Just as a, I mean, maybe we do as a council, per council rules, to have legal authority. We probably do. But I just think to be inclusive and, I was thinking about it this morning. Our council's pretty reflective of a lot of the things that people across the community have in terms of, you know, obviously the COVID numbers are down, way down, which is fantastic. But, I mean, we have members who are over the age of 65. We have members who, one member who's pregnant, I have a newborn at home. We have staff who have multi-generational parents in their house, and we want our public to come down and visit us. So, you know, as one doctor said in the paper, and I can't remember his name, the other day he just said, may as well wear a mask for an extra couple of weeks and get COVID for a preventable COVID exposure. So I would suggest we do that for inclusiveness, both for our staff, especially as we're trying to get people to come back here. I think one of the benefits of, you know, staff who might be hesitant to come back is you're coming to a place where people are masking up. That's my two cents.
I think I'll probably, just to add on that, I'll probably keep wearing a mask. I also just, I personally am naming that I feel confused on the latest CDC guidance because they've just put out a few things that, like, that even just the headline about it felt unclear. Like, and I just need to sit down and go revisit where we're at now because I understand there's a sort of different national outlook on the pandemic, but and given that it's just not as certain and that there's just we've just kind of come this far, I think I still feel a little bit more personally in terms of my behaviors, like trying to be still like less risk averse or going to big events. Like I would have loved to go to the Santa Foundation event, and personally I didn't go because I was like, I still feel like that's too much for me. And I think a lot of folks still want to try to make choices like that where they're like, I just need the option if I can't or don't feel up to it, or I'm thinking of someone else who isn't myself to not do all that. And so I think let's talk about it, but my personal desire is how can we, kind of to Councilmember Tolbert's point, like empower folks who feel like they are healthy and can go to those things and not bring risk on themselves or others to do that while also making sure folks who aren't can like still do their life too. So I think that I would like to read up on what the CDC is saying these days more, but it just kind of feels hard to keep track, and that's one of the challenges of this whole thing. It's just the guidance has changed a lot, and then it's changed a lot again, then it's changed back, then it's changed back. So, I don't know. I'm interested what Ramsey County based their action on, for example. I'll try to look that up.
Especially as the kind of keeper of the public health thing. And this isn't, I don't know why this metaphor was the one that kind of clicked for me, but we were talking at home about how the DNR will never tell us that it's safe to go out on a frozen lake, because it's not. But after it's been cold, and after people have checked the depth, and after people, you know, have a clear idea of where the currents run and what have you, they will go out on the ice. And some people will go sooner. Some people will never go. Some people will wait until they're very, very sure. And nevertheless, the DNR is never going to say it's perfectly safe to be out on the ice. And so, you know, it's sort of, we are going to, I think that what we're really going to do is get to that point where we decide what is the appropriate level of risk for ourselves and for our community. And for some reason that kind of put me in the right mindset of like, okay, you know, what are the risks and what do we want to do? And I think in terms of what we do internally, we have all the options in the world. I would like to just ask Ms. Hollis with finding out legally onto the question what we can do, given that this is our shared building and what have you, so that at least we know. That would be helpful. Ms. Inker.
Thanks, Council President. And I thought actually you were going to say this metaphor that really worked for me, which was I heard on NPR they were talking about some doctor compared a mask to a raincoat. Masks have become so politicized and they've become so all or nothing, like we all mask or we don't mask, and there's sort of huge epics of time in which we mask or we don't mask. And his point was just you have a raincoat available when it's raining and you put it on, and you have a mask available when cases get to a certain point and we mask, and then we go back and we don't mask. And like, that really resonated with me because it became apolitical and it just became based on what the caseloads are. I think the missing point, kind of to Ms. Jalali's point, is what are those lines at which point we're like, okay, it's raining COVID-wise and we need to all mask up again. And I would also just say one final thought, and again, I could go either way on this, but I think there may be a new etiquette that we need to adjust to, sort of to your point, Councilmember Tolbert, that if people are we should all be prepared, I think, to mask to respect the people who we are meeting with in our chambers and in our offices. And I think now that Ramsey County has made a different decision, people who come into this building are going to have to encounter people who aren't masked. But we should all certainly, no matter what we decide as a rule, I think have a mask on hand and be prepared to respect the preferences of the people who come see us. And we all have our own little HEPA air filters in our offices for the purpose.
Ms. Jalali.
Well, I think that we're like, I feel like we're in the situation that many like businesses have been where they wanted to enforce masking. They didn't have a mandate. They were asking people to do it, and they were just trying to create a positive, voluntary, like non-politicized system for it.
if you come to our place, here's some masks. We would love for you to wear a mask. Could you please wear a mask? And, like, you can't actually really enforce it beyond that. And I know businesses are different because they're, like, a private business, so they just kind of take the heat by being, like, we have the right to push you on this. But, you know, I appreciate what you're setting up, which is, like, we're going to model the behaviors that we think are smart and inclusive. We're going to not make a big deal out of it. If we need to put a mask back on, have them nearby, encourage folks. But it's true that we'll be in a different situation because of the county's choice, and we'll just navigate it. So I think it'll be okay.
But it's a good point. These are the questions that our businesses have been navigating for quite a while. So it's now we have to do it ourselves. And I think especially with the public access piece of it, there's definitely another layer there. So, but that was news to me last night, so with that, sure. It sounds like it was a news blip as well. So it's out there, but something that we should be prepared to deal with, and we got a couple weeks. Anything else to come before us before we adjourn today? All right, start studying for trivia. That should come to us, and should be coming in about April, I hear.
Are you smarter than the council president? I think I should do
yes.
We need a name.
Yes, they are. All right, there's nothing else. We are.